All right, welcome. It's 107.5 FM, WRUU.org, here in Savannah, Georgia. You are now listening to a show called The Customer Isn't Always Right. Normally, we'd have a guest on, and I'd be interviewing them, but there's a lot of things that happened this week that prompted me to do this episode, so we're going to go ahead and do a little bit of a mini special here. I'm going to call this episode The Pros and Cons of the Service Industry. Okay, normally we do the recap, and I'll just do a short recap. This way it'll lead into what's going on. I feel like this week especially, there was a lot of extremely rude customers. I don't know why. People of all ages, so it wasn't just young people, it wasn't just old people. I want to say a lot of the younger people were a lot more well-behaved than the older people this weekend. I literally almost lost my job, my regular job, to a group of customers who were upset that I told them that they couldn't say the N-word while doing karaoke. So that's kind of a thing that is mind-blowing to me, that I almost lost my job over that. You know, a total non-backing of... My boss had my back, but his boss did not have my back, and I just couldn't understand that. And I need people in the audience to really understand what people in the service industry go through on a regular week-to-week basis when it comes to management, when it comes to employees that you work with. And, you know, customers are just the tip of that iceberg. So I just wanted people to know... That's what we go through. So let me do some of the commercial stuff, and then we'll not commercial stuff, radio stuff, donor stuff, promotion stuff. It's never a commercial. It's my fault. Wrong terminology, but we'll be right back.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station. For people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
Evening Eclectic features weekly conversations with and the music of national and international musicians from a wide range of musical genres. Join me, Dave Lake, your Evening Eclectic host, and these musical guests each week on Sunday nights from 8 until 10 p.m., on WRUU. To celebrate Telfair's featured exhibition, The Art of the Character, highlights from the Glenn Close Costume Collection, which runs from October 10th to February 15th at the Telfair Museum's Jepson Center. The Jepson Center Auditorium is featuring Glenn Close's film Fatal Attraction on Friday, February 13th at 6 p.m., More information can be found at www.telfair.org.
Did you know that you can access our incredibly diverse programming anywhere in the world in real time? Simply type in wruu.org in your internet address bar. And while you're there, check out our schedule of incredibly diverse programming. You can check out shows by day of the week and hour, and even print out a weekly schedule. Simply click on the scheduling tab at the top of the page and follow the prompts. Then click the play arrow and enjoy the show.
All right, we're back. So let's start out with a little opening monologue that I wrote. I normally don't write the intros. I probably should, but anyway, here we go. Almost everyone knows someone who works or worked in the service industry, and a lot of us have worked in it ourselves. Bars, restaurants, retail, coffee shops. Coffee's where I started. Retail, a lot of my relatives started out there. it's the kind of a job people call temporary, which is funny because 5 years later, you're still there and you're training your third manager, which is like, you know, kind of a staple. You're always kind of training new people. You know, the lower level people end up staying there, but sometimes it's like a revolving door of managers, but that's neither here nor there. So the service industry can give you fast money, flexibility, friendships, and some of the best stories you'll ever tell. But on the opposite end, it can also burn you out, mess with your sleep, destroy your faith in humanity, and somehow make you responsible for decisions made three levels above your pay grade, which is crazy. Crazy. When I worked in corporate coffee, crazy to have someone who's never worked behind the counter come down and tell you how to do your job. And try to implement a new way of doing things without ever trying it in a real store. But that's a whole different thing. Tonight we're talking about the pros and cons, why people stay, why people leave, and why serving the public is way harder than most folks realize. And we're also going to be honest, because if you work these jobs long enough, you've probably been an amazing customer. And at least once in your life, absolutely not. But we might not get into that because that's kind of not really the thing that I'm trying to talk to. I'm really trying to focus on the job itself, why people do it, why people don't do it, what are the main like factors of the positives, and what are the main factors of the negatives, and why people leave and why people stay. This episode isn't about complaining. It's about understanding what it actually takes to work in the service industry, and maybe remembering that the person helping you didn't invent the menu, the prices, or the policy that you're mad about. And these things are very, very, very important, because upper management will come down on us for stuff like this when it has literally nothing to do with us. I didn't write the policy. I didn't write a policy. I'm enforcing a policy, and now you're going to get on top of me for enforcing a policy. That's wild. What people don't understand is that the rules change depending on who the customer is. Keep that in mind. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever get that twisted. So let's set the ground rules. I'm not going to be here bashing customers for the most part. Don't get it twisted. There's going to be some customer bashing, but like, it is what it is. This is about reality. Like, everyone here has been on both sides of the counter. So let's start with why anyone signs up for the madness in the first place. The pros and why people stay. Sorry, I'm a little tired. It's late for me. There's fast money and flexibility, social environment, coworker bonds, life skills you don't realize you're learning, and the adrenaline of a busy shift. Now, the fast money and the flexibility I can attest to, and most people can. Like, if you have something going on with your family and you need to go right away, there's always a number of people behind you ready to take your shift or ready to work a double. And you will always have the money to, you know, depending on where you are on this ladder, if you're a bartender or a very good server, you probably have the money to go deal with that. Us lower level service industry workers, such as door guys and, you know, DJs like the host and stuff like that, we don't make that kind of money, but we still do have the flexibility. The bonds, I've met some of the most awesome people I've ever met in my entire life while doing these jobs. Some of them I'm still friends with, and that's very important. I'm like a lot of the salt of the earth people. This is where we end up sometimes. Sometimes you're too smart for your own good, or sometimes school was boring, or sometimes you just didn't want to go to school, or sometimes something else didn't work out and you end up here. And some of the best people are here. Also, some of the worst, but we'll get into that. The social environment, for the most part, is cool. I enjoy working in a bar, especially one of the most popular bars downtown. Like, when you work in a popular place, you will meet as many people as you possibly can, and you're going to see as many things as you can. And you are gaining life skills that you did not realize you were learning, such as how to deal with people, how to be graceful, how to interact with people in a way that is beneficial to you. You know, some of this is sociopathic behavior, where you have to be a chameleon, where you have to literally play the game. This is why a lot of the best actors and actresses in the world have been servers and bartenders, you have to lie your ass off all the time. Like, you have to lie. You have to lie. It's part of the job. Sometimes it screws your head, but, you know, it is what it is. So now, some people might ask, like, why did you get into this job in the first place? What made you take your first job? And a lot of people's answers are going to be money. A lot of people's answers are going to be quick money, easy money. The bar is set extremely low. You don't have to have a lot of experience. Most places will train you on the job. Most places prefer to train you on the job. So you're coming into a job where you might be working side by side with people who have no idea how to do the job, period. And you have to have a whole different set of patience for that. And you have to have really good managers for that kind of a thing. To be constantly putting people in and out. Because it is kind of like a revolving door, because you do get blindsided when people leave a lot of times. I've been in all different spots of this industry, from upper management to shift supervising to just doing dishes. So it's like you have to really understand, like, who you're going to be working with and who's going to be there. Now, mind you, everyone is not going to be cool. Let's just get that right out of the way first, point blank, period. You are going to deal with people who've gone to jail. You're going to deal with gang members. You're going to deal with sociopaths. You're going to deal with crybabies. You're going to deal with people who've never had a job before in their life. You're going to deal with all sorts of people. You're going to deal with people who think that they are right 100% of the time. And you're going to deal with people who bend over backwards for customers when you should not be doing that. You know, it's one thing to make money. It's another thing to, you know, compromise your integrity or your morals to make a couple dollars. everyone has different levels of what they're, you know, willing to take for money or what they're willing to do for money. So I'm not going to comment on that, but, you know, everyone does have their limit, and 9 out of 10 times people quit managers and coworkers and not jobs. So keep that in mind. The biggest upside, let's talk about the positives. The biggest upside that people that sound in the industry don't understand is the fun. There is a lot of fun to be had at these jobs. The work is hard. Regardless of what people want to tell you or how people react when you tell them what kind of job you have, the job is hard. There's the mentally exhausting part of playing a character all night. You know, there's the physically exhausting part of standing and being on your feet all night. And then it goes to extremes depending on what kind of job you have. Like, you know, if you're the door guy, which means you're security, you're not just checking IDs, you're also security, you're protecting the people inside the bar. You know, that can be physically exhausting and extremely mentally exhausting, having drunk people bark at you all night and so on and so forth. Same thing with servers and bartenders, having people just complain to you nonstop about things that have nothing to do with you. You know, all you did was take their order. You know, when you're talking about the bartender side, that's something different. The bartenders are making the drinks for you, but the server is not making your food. And I don't understand why people still dress down servers and get in their faces when they literally did not make your food. If you told them medium and they wrote down medium and that's what came out of the ticket in the kitchen, if they mess that up, you should not be yelling at the server. Point blank, period. Do not do that. Some people might ask, is there anything about the job that you miss when you're not there? For me, like, if we're not talking about money, if we're not talking about the quick money, it's people, it's the interactions. You know what I mean? I think the correct term is like an ambivert. When I'm out in public, I can be the extrovert. I can do the thing. I can talk to the people. But when I'm home, I just want to be home. When I'm not working, I just want to be left alone. I don't want to be spoken to, period. So there's quite a bit of recharging that needs to happen before I come back to work. And I don't know if some people are like that or if everyone's like that, but I'm definitely like that. So, like, you know, there's all the good stories, the good interactions and stuff like that. But it's unfortunate that it seems to be that the negative interactions are the ones that stick out the most. And they're not always with customers. A lot of times it's with your coworkers or with upper management. So let's move on to the cons. Why people burn out. Emotional labor. There's a lot of emotions you go through at that job, from being angry to being sad to being happy to being most of the, you know, you can feel a lot when you're working and doing these jobs, and especially when you're dealing with other people. And if you have the skill to talk to people, people will unload their secrets on you. And sometimes you're going to hear stuff that you don't want to hear, or that you did not want to know about someone. Like, you're going to find these things out, and it's your job just to kind of listen, you know. It's, you know, you can at least pretend like you're listening and give kind of, oh, that's crazy, generic answer if you want to. But don't make it known, you know, that you're not listening. Anyway, being treated as invisible or worse. This is a major problem within the industry, especially with like the bartenders and DJs and servers. Like, you know, everyone treats you like you're gold while you're talking to them because they want something from you. Like, let's not get it twisted. They want something from you. They want a discount. They want to sing next. They want to use the microphone. They're all trying to get something from you. And then when you cannot help them, if they see you in public or see you away from your station, they pretend like you're not there. You know, there's name calling, there's, you know, anything. And it's kind of a mind screw when, you know, you're being called king when you're at your stage, but then when you try to talk to someone when you're not working or outside of that situation, you don't exist. It happens. It doesn't happen too much. From my position, I've seen people outside who recognize me, and I'm trying to avoid them. But I have seen it to happen to other people, and it's messed up. The inconsistent money, that is a massive issue in this town, especially where everyone wants to pretend like we have two dead seasons, but really we have three. So we have. That March area, March to like June, we have, you know, St. Patrick's Day and a couple other things, crazy busy, super busy, busy, busy. Then when the rain starts hitting and hurricane season happens, June-ish all the way out to about August, September, dead. We're struggling. You might get some people here and there, but frankly, it's just like too hot or it's too rainy or whatever's happening. It's kind of dead. Then from September out to Thanksgiving, and not including Christmas and New Year's, is pretty busy. And then after Thanksgiving, it is dead until that week of Christmas, where we have, you know, it's some busyness. And then the week between Christmas and New Year's Eve is kind of busy. It's random. Last year was much busier than it was this year. So, you know, I still consider that really part of the dead season. So you got from Christmas all the way out to St. Patrick's is like the dead. So there's three seasons there. The money is extremely inconsistent. Now, the physical toll, there is a shelf life on this job. You don't see a lot of super old servers or super old bartenders. And if you do, they might own the place. Or they might, you know someone, maybe the wife of the owner, or the husband of the owner. Like, it really depends. But there is a shelf life on this job, and with no medical benefits and little money to put toward that kind of thing, there is a shelf life on that job. The schedule does destroy your personal life. Your personal life becomes the bar, or becomes the nightlife, or becomes the place that you're working at, especially if you're working at night, working till like 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Like, that is your social life. That is your time. And it stinks. But everyone just, oh, that's just part of the job. It's just part of the job. Like, yeah, there's a lot of things that are quote unquote just part of the job, but it gets very daunting. The job becomes very, very much a, it can be a labor of love sometimes, but there's a lot of times where it's like you are literally just standing on the edge and you're counting down the minutes you become a clock watcher. And then there's other times where you forget and you're like, dang, it feels like I only clocked in a couple minutes ago. You have a great night. I mean, it happens, but like, it's far and few between. We're gonna get in. I'm gonna dive into some of these things here. As far as what the real dark side of this whole thing is that. Where do we start? Let's start with owners and managers and work our way down. Not just in this town, other towns I've worked in, lived in, been a part of, other people I've talked to, other stories I've consumed and ingested and really got a hold of. There seems to be a 50-50 split. You know, there's good owners and there's bad owners. I used to work in a place where the owners did not pay attention, and that allowed upper management to take advantage of them to the tune of like $40,000. You know, like that's just people not paying attention. That's people believing in the wrong people. And that trickles down. Like that whole place was screwed up. I'm not going to say if it's a restaurant or a bar or a coffee shop or anything. It's just that place from the top down was bad. Because it was rotten up top. And, you know, a lot of people don't like to be confronted with that kind of rottenness, especially if they're a part of it. And there's no real nice way to say it. And jobs like that, you got to just kind of get out. And that's what I was talking about earlier with some people quit managers and employees. Some people quit jobs. Sometimes it's all of it. In this case, it was management because the people I worked with were really cool, but we were all poor because they were mismanaging the money and how it was handled and what was going on there. And it was just a bad situation. And like, there's situations where the management is kind of just running rampant and doing whatever they want and telling the upper man and telling the owner something completely different. All of these things can be situations in which you lose good employees. And then, you know, because you need a body, then it starts this cascading, like, butterfly domino effect of, okay, well, a good employee left, but we didn't have time to hire someone good, so let's just get the next person who comes in here and we'll kind of deal with it. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, now you have a whole business filled with terrible employees, and you don't know exactly how that happened. But we know how it happened. We just discussed it. there's a thing when it, especially in bar life, and people don't like to talk about this, but there is a real problem with drugs and alcohol. Sometimes people need to stay awake, so they do drugs that will cause them to stay awake. And then they need to go to sleep, so they do drugs that make them go to sleep. Or some people are in pain because they can't stand anymore, but they don't want to lose their shifts, and so on and so forth. Alcoholics, all kinds of things. These are the things that we, you know, if you talk to a seasoned service industry worker, they will tell you that we need these things. We know that's not true. We don't need them, but they do help. You know, this is what they will say to you, and this is why I'm laughing, because it's like, I understand. I've been there. I've been on every level of the addiction scale when it comes to substances and what's going on and how you use these things to mitigate kind of certain parts of the job, or so that you can compartmentalize certain parts of the job so that you can, you know, keep it together without, you know, crying or whatever, you know, or not thinking, or you can do it without thinking about how little money you're making. And now someone would say, oh, well, you know, you're making a little money because you have a drug problem, this, that, and the third. And, well, I'm going to tell you right now, like, a lot of these drugs that are out there are either given to you free or at a very extremely low cost because you know people and everyone's just hanging on. And that's like a little weird, like, family of, like, yeah, we're all, like, addicts and users, but we all need these jobs and we all got to stay awake and we all got to have, you know, we all got to have a smile on our face. And it can be crazy. It can really take a toll on you mentally, physically, and you can feel like you're insane sometimes when it comes to these jobs. And there's gonna be things that set you off that you gotta kind of deal with at the job and make life tougher, but it's just, you know, you have such little job security regardless of how good you are at your job, because there's always going to be a stack of resumes behind you. You know what I mean? And there's always going to be a customer who thinks they can test you and get you off the job. That's just, you know, a real, you know, just bad part of the job, you know. So let's get into who thrives versus who doesn't. You definitely have to have thick skin. Humor has to be one of your coping mechanisms, whether it's, you know, you have to be able to make a joke out of anything, good, bad, great, you know, everything. You have to have boundaries, and you have to be able to tolerate chaos, because it is going to be chaos. Imagine trying to play Jenga in the middle of a party where everyone's hammered, but you're not. Imagine trying to put a Lego set together in a room full of people who are drunk, but you're not. You know what I mean? Imagine trying to assemble a cabinet in a room full of drunk people, and you're the only one not drunk there. Or you and your coworkers are the only ones who are not drunk. And you're still expected to do a good job. And the people who complain, who are hammered, when they complain the next day, are using what little memory they have of the night before to make a complaint about you. And so understand, mind your P's and Q's. Do what you normally do. Stand on business. Hope that there's cameras and hope that other people see the interactions, because these customers will turn into liars, especially once they're drunk, because they don't remember what happened, really. All they remember is that you did something to them that made them upset, and they don't remember what that was exactly, but all they remember is that you're terrible and you ruined their night, and so on and so forth. And whether it's true or not, you still got to play the game. But it's just kind of funny. It's kind of funny. Struggles. People who are people pleasers, you are going to have a terrible time at these jobs, especially in a bar and serving. You can make some of the people happy some of the time. You will never make all of the people happy all of the time. It's impossible. No matter how nice you are, no matter how cool you are, no matter how many people in a room love you, it does not matter. Every one of your customers could be giving you a glowing review in the same room, but there will be that one customer who just doesn't like you for whatever reason. If you are a stability needy person, this is definitely not going to be the job for you, not going to be the right thing for you. At all. These jobs are very unpredictable, and you really have no idea what you're going to get on a day-to-day basis, even from your coworkers. Yeah, and if you take anything personal, if you take things personally, this is definitely not the job for you. I honestly don't know what job you can work if you take comments personally. If you're not there on business, if you're not at a job on business, then you, you're there for the wrong reasons. Like, you literally, you are not there to get praise. You're there to literally complete your job and get a paycheck. This is what work is for. It's not about, like, you know, making sure everybody likes you and this, that, and the third. Listen, you don't have to like everyone you work with in order to work there. Liking your coworkers and having them like you is not a prerequisite to a job. It is a bonus. Okay, let's all get that clear. And it's the same thing as a customer. You can go to a place that you like, but you don't have to like all of your servers. Everyone you came in contact with in that business, you don't have to like all of them. You have to like some of them, enough of them to want you to warrant you staying there. But you're not going to like everyone at a restaurant or a bar, and everyone at a restaurant or a bar is not going to like you, and that includes the customers that you come in, you know, interact with. I think a lot of people get it wrong. Like, I understand everyone's living their own story. Everyone is the main character to their own movie. But when you come to a public space, a bar, a restaurant, and you act like you're the only person in the room, you're in for a rude awakening. You are going to have a massive problem, especially those of you who've not heard the word no before. You're going to have a huge problem. But it's just remember, overall, it's not that you're bad at the job. It just might be that the job is bad for you. That's another thing. Just because you were good at one place doesn't mean you're going to be good at this other place. Just because you were a good host doesn't mean you're going to be a good server. Just because you were a good server doesn't mean you're going to be a good bartender. Just because you're a good bartender doesn't mean you're going to be a good server, and so on and so forth. Like, just because you're a good bartender doesn't mean you're going to be a good manager. You know what I mean? Sometimes some of the best managers I ever had were people who just weren't worth their salt. You know, people who are like, you know, bad at the people, like, you know, let's say it's line cooks. I had a manager once, great manager. Was he a good line cook? No, but he knew how to manage us. He knew how to make it work. You know, those are the best managers. I used to really be a firm believer that a great manager could do everyone's job. I'm right to a degree, but I'm mostly wrong. Really, a great manager is someone who understands every job and how every job goes with you know, interacts with other jobs. People. Understanding people and how they work together. Being able to fit those puzzle pieces together. That's what makes a great manager. A great manager doesn't have to know how to do your job, but he does have to understand how your job works. Or her. But just remember, it's not that you're bad at the job. It might just be bad for you. Same thing with customers. This restaurant or bar might not be bad, but it might be bad for you. It might not be your scene. So don't force it. Don't stay. If this is not a place you like, then go. No one's forcing you to stay here. All right, so let's kind of round up. We'll riff a little bit more about the. I'm gonna give some advice and a nice little reality check. Some advice for the service workers: protect your mental health. It is very, 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 very important that you, if you need a mental day at this kind of a job, take it. Take it. If your job is willing to fire you over that, then it is not the job for you, and you will find a different job. But if you need a mental day, take it. Take it, because if you don't, you're going to drive yourself crazier, and it's going to hurt your money, and you're going to lose money because of it. Track your money honestly. Come up with a way for you to be honest about how much money you've made every night. Whether that's accurate, whether you're counting it cent by cent, or whether you're kind of rounding it around. These jobs can get crazy, especially when tax season comes around. I know some of us aren't paying our taxes, and that's whatever. And I know some of us are doing it and putting away money for it, and so on and so forth. But, you know, we don't always have the ability to save and pay taxes. Because honestly, some of us are barely living paycheck to paycheck. So there's no way they're going to be signing, you know, putting money aside for any of that. Abuse is not part of the job. This is what we were talking about before. So, like, you don't have to abuse drugs to do, to be a bartender, to be a server, to stay up. You know, drink coffee, drink energy drinks, get sleep during the day, have a better diet. Like, these are all things that you can do, you know, when it comes to switching your sleep schedule and living the life. But, like, you don't have to abuse drugs, alcohol, or other people verbally or in any way to do these jobs. So kind of just like take a breather. If you find yourself abusing drugs and alcohol to keep a job like this, then maybe you might want to take a break from doing this kind of a job, or maybe look for something else. This is not for you, and you don't want to run yourself into a grave just to keep a job. It's not worth it. It's not worth it because they'll replace you as soon as you die. It's not worth it. Which brings me to my other point. Leaving any job, not just service industry, not just any job. Leaving any job doesn't mean that you failed, all right? It just means, again, like we were talking about before, like it's just, probably just not for you. You know, it's not that you're bad at the job. It's that the job is bad for you. So, you know, again, leaving doesn't mean you failed. Tips for customers. Tip appropriately. If you do not have money to tip your bartender or tip anyone who is providing you services within a party situation like this, whether it's your DJ, whether it's a KJ, like a karaoke DJ, whether it's a server, whether it's a door guy, whether it's a security guard, whether it's a bartender, make sure you tip appropriately. You know what I mean? These are the people who got your back. These are the people who are making your drinks for you, making your food for you, doing these things. And you feel like you're not going to give them any money, then maybe you should stay home and cook for yourself and make drinks for yourself at home, because that's just rude. These people are out here dealing with a lot more than you know every day. You know, like, you know, you're not the only customer who's yelled at them that day for something that they didn't do. You know what I mean? You yelled at this poor server because your burger wasn't medium when you ordered medium. There's two things. Either the kitchen messed up your burger, or you don't know what medium is. Maybe you think medium is well, or maybe you think medium is raw. Regardless, you should not stiff the server for something that is beyond their control. Now, with a bartender, you shouldn't be yelling at the bartender because they don't have Anheuser-Busch products. Like, okay, we don't have Busch Light. You know, okay, we don't have Budweiser. That is not the bartender's fault. So for you to yell at the bartender or not tip the bartender over that is rude. It is extremely rude. So if you don't have money to tip, then don't go out. Because there is no conversion rate for back pats and good jobs. Someone pats me in the back or tells me I did a good job. That does nothing for my wallet. That does nothing for my ego. That does nothing for anything. It does nothing. I know that I'm doing a good job because I'm still there. And I really would rather you not touch me. So it's exactly what I said. The staff are not policymakers. Kindness goes further than you think it does within this industry. We remember two things about customers. Whether you were awesome or whether you were terrible. So let's hope that if we don't remember, that means you weren't awesome or terrible, and that's fine. Honestly, I'd rather not be remembered by a staff unless it's for something cool. So, you know, just remember, we remember two things, good customers, bad customers. That's it. And if you, you know, don't fall under good customer, then things are going to get around about you, and you're going to find out how small this town is when other servers and other door guys and other bartenders are recognizing you. So now let's get out of here for the last closing line. If everyone had to work 1 year in the service industry, I always say 1 or 2 years, service industry, front, back of house, I feel like the world would be a calmer, more patient place. Or at least people would stop yelling at servers over things they can't control. Heat of food, so on and so forth. Like, it's just, it's not fair to do that. But anyway, so instead of giving the bar forecasts, which I think I'm gonna kind of stop doing, I'm still trying to get some more people for the episodes. If you guys want to send me single stories, like for those of you who feel like you can't be interviewed because, you know, you don't want to do a whole episode, or, you know, you're not sure what you're going to say the whole time, or you're afraid of getting in trouble, or whatever the case may be, maybe if you guys could go on the Customer Isn't Always Right talk show on Facebook, submit your stories, submit me your worst or your best stories about your customers, and I'm going to try and collect a whole bunch of those, and every now and then I'll do an episode like this where I'll talk about all these I'll have a co-host with me on the show, and we'll talk about these stories, we'll riff on these stories, we'll comment, you know what I mean? So if that's something that interests you guys, please get at me. But I think that's all I really want to riff on as far as this week is concerned. But yeah, like, just remember, guys, the rules are always changing, and there's some people who exert their privilege over others. Just don't be one of those D-bags, and we can all be really cool. Everything can be cool. All right. Again, this is The Customer Isn't Always Right, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We do this every Wednesday night. Get at me on Facebook, The Customer Isn't Always Right Talk Show. Send me your stories. Have a good night, y'all.